Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Mostly Horror early and ad-free on Amazon Music.
Download the app today.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the best-selling true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge premieres April 17th, streaming only on Hulu.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to Mostly Horror Movie Night 2022.
Mostly.
We are happy to be here in the new year. Hope you guys had a...
We need one of those, man.
Yeah, we still don't have a soundboard. We hope, if you're listening to this, we really hope you had a good new year. Sean and I, everyone in this apartment spent our New Year's isolated and quarantining.
Yep.
I was positive with COVID, had some mild symptoms, and feeling a lot better now. My girlfriend also had, was positive, but didn't have any symptoms. So we spent our New Year's in our rooms.
It was awesome. And by awesome, I mean mind numbing. I spent a lot of time. I mean, we all can get kind of reclusive anyway, but we at least recluse together in the living room.
In the living room.
At least like for a bit every day.
Yeah.
And so it was a little hard. We had to do our gifts. We had to do our gifts over FaceTime we live together.
Yeah. We opened all of our roommates opened each other's gifts via FaceTime because I didn't want to, you know, me and Sydney were isolating sucks. This past week has been, it's been nice. Like I was just saying, like I have to go back to work tomorrow and stuff. Mm. And like, you know, work's been slow. Like film is just the film production slow during the holidays. But it's been a weird week and I'm ready to get back to normal, to be honest.
Yeah.
Or kind of normal.
For you, it was probably like, in a way, a bit of a break because you're pretty busy and whatever.
Oh, so totally
to fuck off in bed on some Charlie's grandparent shit for, you know, 4 days, 4 or 5 days was probably nice. Me, I do a whole lot of nothing. So this took me to a new level of nothing. It was impressive. I was like, I didn't know how much nothing I could get done.
That's true.
And now I've set a bar. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of all the things I watched. I watched Memories of Memories of Murder, which is one of Bong Joon-ho's. It's Bong Joon-ho. It's a murder mystery detective film, made it in 2003. I was like, this feels a lot like Zodiac. It was made before Zodiac. It's phenomenal. Bong Joon-ho is one of the best directors in the world. And Sean, you personally, but also anyone else, if you haven't seen Memories of Murder, if you haven't seen Parasite, if you haven't seen Host, if you haven't seen, I haven't seen Mother, but I want to watch Mother. Like Bong Joon-ho is amazing.
I literally have not seen any of his movies. Isn't that fucked?
Bro, if you don't watch Parasite tonight.
I know. I have Parasite too.
Watch it tonight. Okay. It is so... Yeah.
Wow, I feel like we've had this reaction. Yeah, I feel like we've had this reaction on the show before too.
Well, because there's a number of really good like recent movies. Like you haven't seen Uncut Gems, and that just still is mine. Uncut Gems is so fucking good, dude. I saw Uncut Gems the day Kobe died. Like,
oh shit!
That was the second time I saw it. But
about to say that was an emotional day for you, then, man.
Dude, I saw a movie that has basketball in it. Walking out of the movie theater, my mom texted me, "Kobe died?" And I said, what?
Well,
and then
dude,
proceeded to get online. Yeah, that was the worst way to find out.
That I woke up the other day, speaking of Kobe died and weird ways to find out, I woke up the other day to a text message of someone being like, yeah, like when I woke up, I found out that Betty White died and blah, 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 blah. Betty White fucking died, dude. And that's Betty how White I found died. Out. Yeah. Yep.
And here's like the thing. That is, I've said this a number of times, but I need this joke to come across on the podcast.
Oh my God.
Betty White was about to have a People's Magazine article that says celebrating Betty's 100th birthday. And they came up with that idea. Maybe Betty didn't propose it. All I'm saying is she got a little cocky. All right. I've said this before. My grandma's 102 years old. If my grandma all of a sudden just stopped talking about the coloring book she was doing and was like, oh, I'm about to beat you bitches, I'm at 103. God would cut her off the next day, dude. You can't get cocky when you've been around that long.
That's that knock on wood Betty White. Shit.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. 100%.
That's sad. It's funny because it's funny. I think that Betty White's death, more than anything to me, has made me realize like the different ways, how many different ways people can interpret something and like how reflective that is of their character. My immediate whatever was, this is an omen. Like it happening this close to the new year. I was like, come on. She was so close to 100 and it was snatched away from her in 21. I was like, I can't tell if this is a last laugh of 21 being like, ha,
right.
And I took Betty White, you bitch. Or if it's 2022 being like, and now you got nothing, but blank I slate. Saw straight up. Well, yeah, but in a terrible, like, yep, okay. We're starting off with bad no vibes. But then yeah. I jumped on Facebook and I saw somebody who gave the take that is now my favorite take. And it was basically mm-hmm. like, oh, I wish I was trying to find it a second ago, but I can't find it. But it was basically like Betty White dying, you know, just a few weeks before she turns 100, was the ultimate like great performer act. It was,
yeah,
it was that she, you know, she always lived on the edge and played characters yeah. that were dangerous. And this was her way of leaving us wanting more. And he put it way yeah. more eloquently than I did, but I was like, that's my new take, dude.
That's fair. I saw another thing. I saw something pop by. I was scrolling through Reddit and it was basically this person on Facebook saying like, all these people like pouring one out for Betty White and you probably can't even name like four of her movies. I was like, are you fucking kidding me, bro? Like, sure, I can name like yeah. three things that I know Betty White from, but that doesn't matter. Like, are you
the Golden Girls is good enough. All right.
Yeah, first literally, off. Dude. Have you seen The Proposal?
I haven't, but I know that dude, her and Ryan Reynolds had a great time.
Her, Ryan Reynolds, yeah. and Sandy Bullock, dude.
Sandy Bullock, dude.
Sandy's in oh that movie. God. It's The Proposal is so good. It's one of the best rom-coms. I fucking love a good rom-com, and that's definitely a good one. You got to watch it. Yeah. So I watched Memories of Murder. I watched almost the whole season of House, getting close to the end there. And then I've been talking about it the past couple days, but Sydney and I have watched all 8 episodes that are available of Yellow Jackets, which if you're listening to this, excuse me, Yellow Jackets is available. Yellow Jackets is a original series that's on Showtime currently. It's mystery, drama, horror-esque. It's really fucking good. Probably my favorite show, my favorite like new show that I've watched.
And as you can tell, he won't shut the fuck up about it. It's been so like 48 good. Hours and he's told me about it several times.
I've watched 8 hours of it.
It's did it just come out? It like did was it just
yeah, dropped? it has 8 episodes. So it's been 2 months, over 2 months probably.
Okay, because it's since you brought it up, I think I had heard mm-hmm. the name once, but then since you brought it up 48 hours ago, not even.
Yeah.
I have seen posts about it everywhere. So I don't know. Maybe I was missing them before because I didn't recognize, I don't know, but maybe.
The 8th episode came out today, so it makes sense if you've been seeing posts today, because today's episode is so good, dude. Also shout out to Chelsea for giving us a Showtime login.
Dude, new year, new me, new bitch. I'm curious, do you have, I hit you with it, I'm curious, what? New year, new me, new bitch.
Yeah, what?
Put it on a shirt, dude. I'm curious, do you have any and I didn't prep you for this at all. Do you have any New Year's resolutions, Steve?
New Year's resolutions? Oh, man.
You're pretty proud of yourself for last year, right? Accomplished a ton.
You moved to New York City.
Yes. Yeah,
that's a big
thing. I'm not saying I did
thing.
Nothing.
I definitely had, you know, a good year. Work-wise, I'm just always trying to, you know, move up and do bigger things and that sort of stuff. Like, I have the first shows that I'm specifically like starting and ending. I've been like working on big shows and like finishing them, but not completely taking one from scratch in terms of post-production. So I'm excited for that. I'm trying to drink less pop.
There you go. It's
really hard, but yeah. I've been doing that since I had COVID basically. So that's one of the things. I don't know.
To the listeners, we have a bit of a Coke addiction. Steve's is particularly bad. Coca-Cola, yeah. Coca-Cola.
We have a bit of a Coke addiction. Yeah. But yeah, that's it, man. I already have so many like trips and things, not a bunch of trips, but like concerts planned and like a vacation and like family coming here. And so like just trying to like plan stuff to, you know, fill the time and not just have like monotonous, you know, same old stuff. And also podcast stuff, you know, you and I have been trying to get our brains together to figure out how we can, you know, get more guests, get better guests, get bigger guests, mm-hmm. get guests in general.
And just overall trying to figure out what we want to do with the show and conceptualize it. We were very lucky to have a lot of people kind of start listening. Do you hear my cat screaming at me? Cars, she will not shut the fuck up. One
is
second.
She outside of your room?
Yeah, dude, just just yelling. But
go let her in. It's fine.
Oh my god.
Do 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 do. Do 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 do. I did the whole Jeopardy song. That was cool.
Beautiful. They probably all stopped listening. But we were pretty lucky to have, you know, a lot of people listening really early on. And I'm not trying to make it sound like we have no clue what we're doing ever, but I just feel like a lot of things have a while with really low listens to adapt and figure themselves out. And we're doing that with you guys, with us on the way. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, you're here for it. So if it seems chaotic, just go with it. It's fine.
And as you've always said, our email is always open. mostlyhorrormovienight@gmail.com. If you have suggestions, if you have things you want to hear, if you have ideas for bits, if you have people you want us to have on the show, if you have things you want us to talk about, email us, tweet to us @mostlyhorror, Instagram @mostlyhorrormovienight. Like, we will chat with you all day. Tell us what you want.
Yep. You can tell us in a comment on a post. Like, you can do it wherever. Yeah. I understand that sitting down to send an email is terrible right now.
That's fair.
You don't even got pants on, or you're at work. Maybe you don't have pants on at work. I don't know, dude. But the point is, you don't have time to send an email. That's the thing.
True.
So if you can just jump on, just let us know somehow. Come show up at our house and scream at us what you want.
Yes.
Because we need to know. Sean's window. Sure, I guess.
What's your resolution?
Well, I got a few. Well, so I mean, first off, I'm gonna get jacked. All right, this is the year it's happening. I'm gonna get
jacked.
I'm glad
you're taking this.
I want at least, what do you mean, dude? I am. I want at least 1,000 people on my OnlyFans. All right, it's all toes all the time, and I want to meet cute with Sarah Bareilles. To be honest with you, I'm pissed that hasn't happened yet. I've been in New York.
I was gonna say
New York for 3 months. I know, and it's trash, dude. At least I just need to meet cute with Sarah Bareilles. And I don't know, get pretty. That's the main thing. No, man, my actual goals are to get organized. I'm trying to be like easy on myself if I set unrealistic ones, but I'm just such an unorganized, no sleep schedule person. And it would just be cool to come out of this year having a better way to approach my life than just reacting to it all the time. If you want a real deep one, there you go.
That makes sense. And yeah,
that's my one goal.
It's something that you can break down and get steps to figure out. So
exactly.
That makes sense. And so then we're also here, get pretty.
Yeah, and get pretty.
And get pretty.
And get into right hand or left hand path magic. We'll talk about that later.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Every day, our world gets a little more connected, but a little further apart. But then, there are moments that remind us to be more human.
Thank you for calling Amica Insurance.
Hey, I was just in an accident.
Don't worry, we'll get you taken care of.
At Amica, we understand that looking out for each other isn't new or groundbreaking. It's human. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
All right, so what are we...
We don't have a guest today. We don't have a game today. We just wanted to do kind of a quick and easy episode for you guys to start off the new year, because we do have some cool episodes coming up. But Sean and I are going to go through, or more, I'm going to go through, and I'm going to pitch Sean some movies that are scheduled to come out this year, some horror films.
Yeah,
Sean, what I want from you is what I want. You know, we've talked about some of these already, and we've said, oh, we're excited and blah, 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 blah. I want to know what the movie that I say is going to have to do to make you like it, right? So if I say, this isn't horror, I guess it could be. But if I said Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness is what it's called, which comes out this year, I would want you to say, you know, oh, I think it needs, you know, for me to be really stoked, I think it needs Sam Raimi to really lean into the horror. I need to see some cool monsters and blah, 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 that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then I'll throw my take at you too. I got a pretty cool. good list. So Bloody Disgusting at the last day of 2021 posted a 31 horror movies we can't wait to see in 2022 article by Megan Navarro. We're going to pick some out of there, so that way we can, you know, have some good stuff to talk about. And we'll just kind of see, you know, where we're at the end of this.
One organized, hopeful look and approach and expectations and conversation for what's coming in the year. Like you said, we've talked about some of this before, but now it's all in one place, because it was scattered before, and now it's
all,
and there's new.
You're going to hear what we want to see from all of these movies. So
all right,
to start off, the first big movie, and honestly the one that I think at this point in time, maybe it's my second most anticipated of the year in terms of horror, but we have coming out in 2 weeks the new Scream. It's just called Scream. Comes out on January 14th, which happens to be the day that I leave for vacation, and won't get to see it for probably a couple of days after it comes out, and I'm very sad about that. But it's a sequel / reboot. Obviously, it has the original characters from it. It's 25 years after the original came out. It's been 25 years. You know, a whole new group of teens. You haven't seen the fourth one still. Mm-hmm. But you know, same gang of people from the first movie. And you know, there's going to be a new killer. What are you expecting to see, or what are you hoping to see from the new movie?
This one is complicated for me for a couple of reasons. A, if you've been listening for a long time, you've probably heard me at one point tell the story of how the first Scream had a really big impact on me as a kid. I'm not going to retell that story currently, but you'll find it in another episode. I think we even talk about it in our intro thing. I don't know, but it's there. Obviously Scream has this really strange, especially that first one, has this really strange nostalgic factor for me. And then also, like you said, I haven't seen the fourth one. And I know I've talked about that. It's, which is extra weird because they were filming a lot of it right by my, the old house I was at. I was even on set, well, not on set, but I was at where they were filming
in the area
a time or two. Yeah. Watching them. And I still haven't seen that. And I've only seen two. I've seen like, I've seen one many times, two, a handful of times, three, like once a long time ago. And then four. So it's, I'm not going to pretend to be like a diehard Scream series fan, but that's also based off of whatever from the past. I'm honestly excited. I plan on doing a complete watch of all four before the movie, of course. And I know that I really like the first one. I was about to say, so it's, I'm going to be doing it soon. I might even do some of it tonight. Maybe I'll watch Parasite and Scream today.
What a double feature, dude.
Damn, I got Scream, dude. I got literally in my, right next to me right now, I have Scream on VHS and I throw on the first one a decent amount. Like it's one that I watch.
I have three different versions sitting out there. If you want a 4K one, if you want an Australian cut, if you want the originals wrapped, but either way,
it's for the first one. I will probably watch it here. Cause it's just, this is just how I like to see it.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Also that VHS is so sick.
Dude, I'll show it to you when we're done recording. You can look it over. It's pretty cool. But yeah, so it, I guess I, what I'm trying to say is I don't really feel that I am in the position where I can accurately say what the next chapter in this franchise needs. You know, I feel like there are people that would be way more fit for that, but I know that what I would like to see is something, what I guess, okay. I know less what I want, but I know what I don't want. I am really not a fan, just personally, of a lot of the like modern slasher takes. It seems like, and maybe it's just an age thing, but a lot of times when they're making, you know, horror, like especially slasher horror for teens now, it, I guess I just don't relate to like some of their comedy or some of their, whatever. So I guess I just don't want it to feel hokey the way that certain things do. I want it to be, obviously Scream is always kind of funny and it's somewhat camp on purpose and it's very meta on purpose, obviously. I just want them, I basically want it to still feel like Scream. Maybe for me, I'm always like, let's have some actual scenes that make people feel sick to their stomach. If, if a Scream fan goes in and comes out like, whoa, that was kind of more brutal than I was expecting, to me that's a victory.
Yeah, that's fair,
but yeah, overall,
I think that'll be, I think that might be doable because again, Radio Silence, the directors of Ready or Not, are doing this, and Ready or Not is a movie that I came out of saying wow, that was more brutal than I anticipated. Was also better than I anticipated.
That is a great point. I wasn't thinking about that in my answer, but yeah, like with Radio Silence taking it on, I feel like I'm probably going to have fun. So I'm kind of, mainly I'm going in without expectations other than my usual preferences, which are all just personal, whatever. So
that's fair.
Yeah, I'm stoked on it. I'm excited to see what happens.
So excited. The next movie, we're going to go in chronological order, except some things don't have release dates. So the next thing, which we're going to count it as horror, is going to be Morbius, which is it's the latest like Spider-Man spinoff. It's about Michael Morbius, played by Jared Leto, who's basically like a living vampire, just in the Marvel universe or Sony Marvel universe. What do you need for Morbius for this you to enjoy it?
Also complicated. it seems like with the MCU, you can't really talk about this without talking about the MCU to a degree. So I'm
That's fair.
It seems like with the MCU, people tend to either, there aren't a lot of people who are in the middle. You either are decently into it or you're annoyed with it by this point. I'm still into it. I'm down for what's going on. Am I absolutely obsessed with every Marvel movie that comes out? No, but I like them. I'm caught up. Well, I just need to watch Hawkeye, but either way, for the most part, I'm happy with what the MCU is doing. Things are complicated with the Sony side of it, because Sony owns the rights to Spider-Man and a lot of Spider-Man characters. So Sony is the one doing Morbius, right?
Yes, it's not the Sony film. Yep.
So with that being said, a lot of their live action stuff, I haven't loved. Venom, I didn't see Venom for, I don't even remember when it came out, but I saw Venom
a couple of years probably.
okay, I saw Venom like 2 weeks before I moved to New York. So I saw it in September. And I wasn't expecting to like it, even though I love Venom as a character. But then I saw it and I really liked it. And then the other day I watched Venom 2 and it was, dude, there's no other way to put it. That movie fucking sucked. That movie sucked. Like they clearly, it was 100% a situation where I'm like, they knew that it was going to get, they were going to get paid for it. And so they just, it felt like it was sloppily put together. Uh-huh. Not trying to attack anyone, whatever.
Yeah.
I just did not, I can't express to you how much I didn't like it. I didn't love, I don't know. With basically what I'm trying to say is with Morbius, I'm a bit nervous about how it's going to turn out. It kind of just from the trailer, I feel like I've already seen a lot of it.
It
feels super standard origin story. And like, it's going to rely on kind of campy scares. I feel like it's the type of thing where they had an opportunity to kind of actually lean into the horror genre, but instead what they're doing is just throwing your basic average like blah, and kind of a scary character, like a quote unquote standard. Yes, it's more of an aesthetic than it is actually in taking on the genre at all. And it just looks kind of silly. I also don't know how I feel about Jared Leto anymore. He's clearly a very good, which we're not going to dedicate the hours that it would take to jump into Jared Leto on here. But I used to love Jared Leto and now I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to see it. I hope that I leave it, you know, really impressed because I think Morbius is a cool character. I also am not, like, I've read like 2 Morbius comics that are from, like, they're really old. They're either like 60s or 70s. I guess I don't know when he started, but I have really old comics. It's like Spider-Man comics that he was in. So yeah, I don't know. I guess what I would like to see is them to actually lean into the horror a bit, but looking at Venom, I'm not thinking I'm going to see that, but I am excited because I know they're doing like, there's like a whole Blade thing happening. Blade's
being remade. Mahershala Ali is Blade. Yeah.
Is that Sony that's doing that too?
No, it's a Marvel film.
But that's so, because to me, it just makes, I guess, I don't understand the exact ties between Sony and the MCU right now. And to be honest,
it's all who owns the rights to who.
Right. But they're clearly interacting with each other because it would be stupid of Sony to like skip out on this huge thing that the MCU is doing.
The biggest thing, the Marvel Cinematic Marvel Universe.
Yes.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe accounted for 30% of all movie theater revenue this year.
So it is a worldwide like film history phenomenon. Like it is the biggest thing to happen. Whether you like it or not, you cannot ignore that. And for Sony, like Sony was being very frustrating when it came to the rights to Spider-Man before.
Yeah.
I think that Sony should stop making superhero movies. I understand not wanting to give up the rights to those characters. Keep making games, keep making animated movies. The fucking Into the Spider-Verse was the shit. Yeah, Spider-Verse. Those are so good. But they should just have an agreement where they collect fat money to do no work with Marvel Studios. And I'm sure that would work out. But instead they want to
specifically film rights.
Yeah. Instead they're writing together. It seems I don't know the full dynamic, but I would trust the MCU to handle all of this better.
I agree.
So that's where I'll leave that.
My quick thing on Morbius is I just want it to be different. I just want it to be different from all we just said. It seems like it's going to be like the rest of, you know, origin stories. Mm-hmm. For me to really enjoy it, it needs to be different, significantly different. And that would be a good start. The next movie that's coming out is actually surprisingly a Netflix original. And we've talked about it a couple of times, but coming out February 18th, we have Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Produced by Fede Alvarez, who did the Evil Dead remake, as well as Don't Breathe, both Don't Breathe films. Yeah. It's a sequel to the original, straight up sequel to the original. Yeah. And it's basically, you know, Mr. Texas Chainsaw Man coming back from he doesn't like all the kids on his lawn and he's trying to show him that with his chainsaw. Sean, what are you looking for from this movie?
As much Mr. Texas Chainsaw Man screen time as I can get, Steve, if I'm being honest with you. I know we talked about this a bit in recent episodes, but just to recap for everybody, you haven't seen any of them. You've not seen a single Texas Chainsaw movie.
Not but a one.
That is exciting to me. That makes me like, we got to get you watching.
The start of February will be Texas Chainsaw month, probably.
Okay. All right. So let's do it. But yeah, so like I said before, this isn't one of my like absolute heart series, you know, the way that Halloween is or anything.
Yeah.
But I do like the Texas Chainsaw movies. I've for sure seen the original many times. I've seen the Jessica Biel remake at least like two or three times probably. Mm-hmm. And then other than that, I've seen scattered bits, like the rest kind of blur together to me. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever even seen Texas Chainsaw 2 with Bill Moseley, other than like scenes of it. It's chaotic. So I could use a refresher because I don't know where at all, but I know there's multiple timelines. The point that I keep dodging is I'm pretty open for them to do anything. I guess what I don't want is sort of the same thing with Scream. I just don't want it to feel there's this thing that new, especially slasher movies do, where it feels like they're aggressively trying to make teens like it. Like instead of it just being, I don't know how to explain it, but I guess maybe it's because I'm old, maybe I'm biased, but other things didn't feel that way. It didn't feel like, even though that like the first Scream is clearly a movie that like teens from the 90s gravitated towards, you know, horror fans, this like you could see it in Fear Street, you can see it in, and I liked Fear Street, but there's just a ton of, what's that one, I don't know, things like Unfriended, there's just certain things where I'm like, oh yeah. And I feel like the teens today recognize how hokey it is. It almost feels like when adults are trying to like be cool with the kids of today, or they, you know, like, I understand you're trying to make it relevant by talking about social media, but when social media is just this giant plot point all the time, do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm worried about that. I'm worried about it feeling like it doesn't mesh and like it doesn't know what its audience is. And like, it's trying too hard to make kids whatever to it. What about you for that one?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I think it needs to go absolutely against what you're talking about, like against the teen aspect of it. Like, it definitely will focus on the kid. I'm sure it'll focus on the kids a hefty amount because like Elsie Fisher's in it and like, you know, who's in eighth grade and like, you know, it has a good cast of kids, but it really needs to focus on the brutal horror aspect that is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like, for it to really, it needs to have maybe 15 to 20 minute exposition and things need to get rolling from there. It probably should be sub 100 minutes. You know, I think it just needs to be like a balls to the wall, nitty gritty, like horror film for it to really appeal to me.
That's the
context of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes. I was about to say, because the thing is, especially with like, I would argue, I think I said this before too, so Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the Jessica Biel one, kind of set off the remake thing that we have going on right now in terms of big horror icons, and like the remake of taking an older horror movie and approaching it in a very dark, like almost torture porn-esque way. It kind of set that tone. And so I think that they've done a decent job, maybe not narratively, but in terms of going dark. There aren't many slasher movies that are straight, you know, slasher where there's this one killer, this iconic killer, that are as brutal as Texas Chainsaw Massacre. From the originals to the, so in my head, I'm like, we've already seen brutal. How are you going to up it? How are you going to whatever? And I guess I would agree with you. I want it to, like, obviously you have to make me care about the kids, but don't it's got, I feel like it's got to be this perfect balance of like, make me care about them, but don't make it all about them.
It's got to be what the Evil Dead remake was for you.
Dude, like
I think the Evil Dead remake has those aspects. I mean, obviously you love that remake. I think that remake has the aspects of a gritty, it's not a slasher, but like a gritty horror film remake that you personally are looking for. I think which Fede worked on both. So hopefully, but like, I think if Texas Chainsaw adopts all of those things, we might be better off.
And that's absolutely, hearing that he's a part of it is a big thing that makes me go, okay, this could be fucking sick, because the Evil Dead remake is amazing and anybody that says otherwise can get fucked. Next. Unless you got more to say.
I actually jumped ahead with going to February, but one that I missed coming out, it says theatrically, I'm not 100% sure, but the prequel to The Orphan, it's called Orphan First Kill, comes out January 28th. I don't know if that's still the date that it comes out, but so like I said, it's a prequel to the 2009 film Orphan. For those don't know, it's about, I guess I shouldn't, should I spoil a film from 2009? The twist is so good. If you haven't seen Orphan, go watch Orphan. It's really fucking cool. But I guess, you know, I guess skip the next 30 seconds if you don't want to hear a spoiler. It's a movie from 2009 where a girl who is passing as a 9-year-old child is supposed to be a 30-something-year-old. But now we're doing a prequel with Isabel Furman, who's the same actress.
Yes.
But it's been 12 years in real life. So is she going to be younger than 9?
It's okay. So real quick to touch back on the older thing, the whole movie, you think she's just this evil little kid until you get to the end. And so like, that's this like twist moment. I want to stress that like, whatever. A prequel is going to be interesting with that concept, because she obviously looked young in this movie because she was a teen, you know,
she's in her early to mid 20s. I think
the first Orphan.
Yes. It was 12 years ago. She's now in her 30s.
She looked like she was like, she looks like she's like 12 in that movie.
Maybe I'm wrong. One sec, Isabel. Maybe I'm wrong. Isabel's. Oh shit, she's 24. You're right. Good call.
Okay, so how old was she in the first?
She was 12. If it was 12 years ago.
Boom! Oh my god! All right, so boom. Okay, so. And she killed it. She did such a good job. She was actually unsettling. That movie, I really liked that movie when it first came out. I mean, I was fucking obviously a lot younger. And I think that the twist just felt silly to me, almost. Like I have like a thing for evil children, which is weird to say, but I love that. I love when kids are the worst in movies and whatever. And so to have this whole movie of me being impressed by this evil little girl and then have that kind of stripped from me. But especially since reading, I'm all over the place with this, but especially since reading Grady Hendrix's Paperbacks from Hell, which is a book about like 60s and 70s and 80s, but mainly 70s, like paperback genre, like weird, like pulp, super strange horror stories. I've learned that there was like a bit of a trope of like, or not, I guess I don't call it a full trope, but there are a couple stories that are like that, about like an evil kid. There's one where it's like a baby and you find out it's like a 35-year-old man, but the whole time, it's super whatever. But that, reading that made me have a new appreciation for The Orphan, which is weird. Right. And it makes me want to go back and it makes me want to go back and like rewatch it, because it has been a while. The only thing I'm really worried about, I guess, is are they going to do age regression like effects? Because it never looks good to me. I've yet to see it look good. I've always been like, oh, that's kind of cool that they can do it, but there's a bit of an uncanny valley thing going on. It never looks right.
I think the times where it looks bad, or the times where you notice it, is when you already know what the person looks like. I think that's the biggest thing. I think it may work if they do it for The Orphan, because we don't see her that often. Like, are you talking about like Like what movies have done it? Didn't they do it with Johnny Depp?
Well, they did it with Johnny Depp in one of the Pirates movies. They did it in Star Wars with everybody. And I get what you're saying about, like, you recognize, but at the same time, especially with Star Wars, for example, well, both Pirates and Star Wars, it's not just about, oh, I know, I don't know. I went to fucking school for animation and know a lot about, like, tracking. Yes. Yeah. Tracking. Like visual effects onto something. Mm-hmm. And I can see the face not moving exactly right. Like that's the thing, is it's not just about a still image of it. It's the movements that are never 100% there. And maybe that is, you know, my eye having to sit through hours and hours of critiques, not for that exact thing, but like I can tell special effects stuff when I see it. The movies that I really like are the ones where I can't, or where I'm so impressed by them that I'm not whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm down, especially narratively, like they can do whatever. I'm just curious to see what they're going to do. I just hope that if they do age regression stuff, that it doesn't look so bad that it ruins the chance of me liking the movie, because for me, it absolutely will, if that's the case.
Yeah.
That's my,
Thing. It's not getting a lot of press. It comes out at the end of this month. So we'll see what happens.
Also, wait real quick. Bit of a spoiler from that, but a whole part of the plot of that is that she burnt down this fucking orphanage and like killed a ton of kids and whatever. Mm-hmm. If they dodge that in this, it's a prequel. If it's basically not about that, and if they just kind of hint at that and they don't, I basically want to see there better be like a 35-minute sequence of people just fucking dying in this orphan fire. That's what
maybe it's the whole movie. Maybe that's the whole thing.
Kill more kids. Put it on a shirt. Remember?
Kill more kids in movies.
That's our motto.
All right. Let's see if we can get through these a little bit quicker. Like, I mean, sorry. No, we're fine. The next one up on the list, from the director of The Witch and The Lighthouse, Robert Eggers, we have, which is probably going to fall along the mostly category, but we have The Northman coming out April 22nd. You can say what this needs to have for you. I don't think it needs anything for me. It's some of the most stoked I've been after seeing a trailer in quite some time. I'm just ready with open arms, really, for this one.
The trailer is sexually arousing, and that's just, we're going to leave it at that. Listen, I watched that trailer and was like, God, I want to go fucking kill a fucking centaur or something. I was like, I want to go play God of War and just fucking drink a ton of ale. Honestly, I'm stoked on this movie. I think it's gonna be really good. I guess I just hope that they keep that perfect balance of like, don't make it so, because he can be, I'm down for a slow burn, I'm down for, you know, a mm-hmm. dry whatever to get to these impactful moments and mm-hmm. that art housey whatever. I don't want it to only be that, but I also don't want it to just be like nothing but like, well, this is a Vikings-esque movie, so we're, you know, it's got to be action nonstop. I want it to be that perfect blend and bring in some horror. It's that simple for me. It's just like, do a good balance, make it dark, and already I'm with you from the trailer. So just I hope it doesn't disappoint is basically where I'm at on that.
I agree. Next on the list, coming out June 10th, the day before my birthday, we have Jurassic World, which the Jurassic movies are horror movies. Jurassic World Dominion coming out June 10th. There's not a lot of plot details.
Yeah.
The dinosaurs are on the mainland. We know that now.
Yep.
I'm also just throwing in, I'm pretty sure Jake Johnson, Nick from New Girl, is in this movie.
Oh.
That's about all that I really know.
Well, that's fun.
But Sean, what does Jurassic World Dominion need for you to enjoy it?
So the Jurassic Park franchise is another pretty good example of a franchise that has changed a lot mm-hmm. over the whatever, you know, over the years. I think that it's a franchise, especially with these new movies, that has suffered from relying way too heavily on CGI when the work, dude, the fucking animatronic work that was done in the first movie is historical. Like it's insane. If you have not seen that, like literally YouTube T-Rex from Jurassic Park. And if it's 4 hours long, watch that whole video. It's it's not going to be that long, but it almost feels disrespectful to me again to have these new movies really just not give a shit about that and be like, oh, it's Jurassic Park and you're going to pay to see it and it doesn't matter and we can do whatever we want. I didn't hate the new Jurassic Park movies, but between that and it kind of feels like they lean more into comedy than the first ones did, which I don't like. Let me just throw out
I like Jurassic World, the original. Mm-hmm. They're not the original, the like remake.
Yeah.
The reboot is probably the best way to say it. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, the one that came out, mm-hmm. the second one, I did not like at all. It's like I barely tolerated.
Yeah. It's funny because I didn't like World as much as you liked it. It sounds like not that you're saying you loved it, but you liked it.
Yeah.
I thought it was okay. I was like, mm-hmm. it was fun. I would much rather watch the first one a million times than watch that again. And then the second one, I liked, like the bedroom scene was kind of cool.
That was the only, I remember talking about this when it came out. This is the only part I liked.
Yeah.
The fucking like the puppet, the shadows on the wall and then the velociraptor on the wall
was super, very good.
Super cool.
So, cause that felt like the only time that they actually leaned into horror, and then everything else kind of felt like actiony politics, which it's Jurassic Park is all of these things, but it just felt like, I don't know, something about it. And I also, maybe Chris Pratt was just way too big at the time when those came out to me, where it felt like, I don't love especially a franchise that's already established. It's just like, well, we got to get the biggest fucking actor right now and put them in that movie. And
that makes sense. Cause
it doesn't need it. It doesn't need it. And if anything, it breaks it for me. So sorry. Yeah, this is
the Jurassic Park movies are not about the main characters.
No.
You know what I mean? Like you don't.
Yes. Put in some new people. Like it would feel so much better if you didn't have a big actor in these movies. You don't need it. Put in some new people. Agree. Don't try to make everything. We don't need to laugh every 5 seconds. You don't need to kind of half-ass scare us and then think you need to make us laugh. Like I should laugh. There should be 3 funny moments in the whole fucking movie. And I don't know, man, but the other thing that we have to, whatever, is if you've been a Jurassic Park fan for a long time, one of the main things you've always wondered is like, what if they got off that island? So you're taking on a plot point that everyone has thought about, you know, it's a lot. So to be honest, I'm obviously going to go see it. I'm not expecting them to do it right, but I hope I'm wrong. But I feel like worst comes to worst, I'll have some fun.
The teaser trailer that came out recently was cool.
Yeah, it was. It was cool. It made me go like, okay, it didn't feel like it's going to be, like, I feel like that was a trailer that was made that isn't exactly what's going to be happening in the movie, but they'll probably have, and that's fine. I like stuff like that, but
I was like, all right, I forgot that was even coming out. It made me happy. Next up, there's no date for it, but it should be coming out in the summer of 2022. Set 300 years ago, another prequel film, we have Prey. The sequel to Predator. Prequel.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
It's going to be coming straight to Hulu. It's directed by the director of 10 and Cloverfield Lane, which I loved.
I still haven't seen it.
Oh, dude, there's so many good movies you haven't seen. I don't really know what I want from a Predator sequel to prequel, to be honest. I don't really care. kind of don't care. I'll see it if I am not doing anything. Maybe if some good reviews come out of it, I'll be more enticed to see it. Mm-hmm. But I'm currently at the state where I'm like, I don't really care that much.
Yeah. Okay. So Predator is another interesting one. It's an alien creature flick, but it's always been, Predator has always been more of an action movie than a horror movie. forever. It definitely qualifies, you know, to be on our show and stuff. And it kind of bleeds in with horror because they ran it alongside Alien, you know, especially yes. with their little crossover. They're like uncanon. The yeah. But they're very different movies. Alien is a sci-fi horror movie and Predator is a sci-fi action movie that is willing to have horrific moments. But for the most part, it's not meant to be scary. Like all the deaths feel like action other than yeah. the initial childhood, like that's a scary thing to look at of Predator. There isn't really much horror to it.
That's fair.
They have tried with different iterations to make it feel different than those 80s ones felt, you know, like mm-hmm. the first, like, well, I think it's like three. That's another one. I've seen like Predator 1 and I think Predator 3 and then mm-hmm. AVP and then like bits of one of the remakes. It's not one I'm super educated on. So
right.
With that, I also feel like my opinion's not the one to whatever for here, but basically I think that one of the faults of this series is it's a series that did well in the 80s or did it come out? When did it come out? Like late 80s, early 90s? I think it's like late 87. 80s is the first one. There you go.
Okay. 87.
Yep. I was gonna say, cause it totally is that hybrid. I remember one day being sick and they were on TV and I think I watched like the first three. And it's totally in that transitional period from the 80s to the 90s. Like that's what it feels like. And it felt like those movies are fun for that era. And that's what that story belongs. And then all of the remake things have felt like it's them trying to make it exist in the film world today and like to audiences today. And they weren't able not able to transition the vibe of it. Does that make sense? So I don't know what I want from it. And I don't know that you can, I think that the story itself might just be something that belongs in a certain type of feel. So if you're going to do it, maybe taking not Stranger Things, but maybe making it feel more like that time period instead of trying to bring it to the future and make it updated or B, give us a bunch of prequel stuff. I'm curious, you know, I'm curious to see what it's going to be.
The good thing about it is that it's set. It's a prequel, like set in, you know, like the Stone Age. So I think 10 Cloverfield Lane is a phenomenal thriller. Don't know if I'd call it horror, definitely thriller. But it, you know, if he works the same style and mood and feel that he did with 10 Cloverfield Lane into this, and it's like a caveman versus predator thing, then that could be cool. But again, I just don't really care at this moment in time.
Yeah. I think, unfortunately. I was about to say same. And it also just kind of feels like they're really, whenever you do something like, oh, I'm taking, you know, we're going back to Stone Age, for example, none of us can relate to that at all, obviously. Yeah. So you're banking on us thinking that Predator is really cool. Like that's the thing is it's like, oh, this iconic character going on another adventure, like essentially, you know, just what I mean?
With time and place.
Yeah. I think what I would want from this series, if you were going to do it, is a complete reboot that's set in 87. And then try to make it feel like a fucking movie from that time period, but with a slightly different tone. Like, I think that's what would pique my interest the most. I'm down to see Prey. I haven't seen, is there a trailer out?
I don't think so.
Teaser, not nothing? Yet. Okay.
Cause they haven't. Well, yeah. There probably will be soon, but not.
I'm curious to see what it's going to be, but overall it's not anything that I'm like sweating about, and I will probably forget about it until that trailer comes out and then be like, oh yeah, like let's check this out. Just being honest.
That's fair. And it'll be on Hulu. So the next movie, we're a little bit over halfway through the year of 2022 now. Probably the biggest in terms of, in my opinion, probably the biggest in terms of overall anticipation by the general public is going to be Nope. Jordan Peele's
third
film starring Daniel Kaluuya, Steven Yeun, Kiki Palmer. We know nothing. We have seen an image of a cloud with, I believe, a kite tail coming off of it.
Yeah.
There's nothing about this movie that we know besides the fact that Jordan Peele has made two phenomenal movies.
Yeah.
It's horror. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah. I'm very curious That's we need to just make Curious some sort of something on this fucking show.
It's fine.
But I'm very curious to see what it's going to be. Obviously, the poster is so good. It makes you like, what a good image to release to make us go, what the fuck is this going to be? And what a title. Like, nope. Especially knowing what he's done. You know, you think of everything from his comedy to obviously his two horror movies, Get Out and Us. The things that he's produced and have been creatively a part of, like Candyman and stuff.
True.
And then the Twilight Zone series, which I still need to watch all of. I've only seen like the first three. I am at a point where I trust Jordan Peele. In terms of my personal preferences, is everything that he wants, like exactly movies that are made for me? No, but they're not made for me. You know what I mean? So I think that I'm excited to see what he does next. I think he, if I to critique Jordan Peele is ridiculous, but if anything, he might have been a little bit on the nose with some stuff in the past, more than my personal preference, whatever. And it worked super well. I guess I'm hoping that whatever he does now, I hope it's as weird as the poster makes it out to be, I guess is what I'm really trying to say.
Yes.
I hope it's not like a straightforward, you know, message right there. I kind of hope he gets really weird with this one. That's what he has me excited for.
Yeah. I'm stoked because I remember when I was still managing Pump It Up when Us came out, or when Us was coming out, right? So the poster came out. It was just the hand holding the scissors.
Yes.
And then press people started being sent boxes because people, you know, press will send these boxes. You got some stuff for Malignant. It had just a pair of golden scissors in it. And that's a very small thing.
Yeah.
Not tiny, but it's a small part of Us. It's not like a big plot point, but it's really cool.
It's iconic.
And it's super iconic. So I'm very excited. I also am going to, I'm going to put my stamp on it January 2nd, 2022. I think this will be an Oscar nominated film. I'm going to say that Jordan Peele will pull off some Oscar noms. I believe that Get Out and Us were nominated in one way or another. Don't quote me on that. I'll look it up as we go to our next one. But I definitely think that this will be nominated. Get Out won an Oscar for Best Original Screenplay. Okay, that's what I thought. So I definitely think that Nope will follow along the lines. Jordan Peele is just like a great mind. And I don't, you know, like you said, I don't anticipate anything really being off.
Yeah, I'm expecting to be impressed regardless. And I think if anything, you talked about the us bit and like that poster, because it's the red suit, it's the scissors, and then the gloved hand, and it just left so many like, what is this going to be? And I think I tend to try to fill in the blanks, and I'm trying actively not to do that anymore because I'll create a movie in my head. And
I almost don't want to watch a trailer.
Yes, dude, it's straight up. I might almost not watch shit for Nope and just go in completely blind with only that poster. And I've been trying, just don't think about the poster a lot. I don't know.
All right, we'll keep rolling through these. The next one, we don't have a release date for it yet, though, but we have the we have Hocus Pocus 2. I'm not attached to Hocus Pocus, Sean, so what are you looking for from this film, obviously coming out on Disney Plus, I'm assuming around Halloween time?
So I'm sure that I've gone on some sort of this tangent before, but I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be pretty cool. Our buddies, Aunt Linda, Cameron's aunt, lives, you know, right by Salem, and was sending me pictures of them getting set up to film and stuff. So that had me excited. I fucking love Hocus Pocus. It is a Halloween must, you know, every fall season, you got to watch Hocus Pocus at least three times. My main worry is I just don't want them to modern live action Disney it up. The first one has it, all of it feels tangible. Everything, they had great sets, they had great costumes. The lighting was natural, but you know, ambience creating. Disney has a thing now where they lean crazy heavy into you know, digital, obviously, like a lot of things do, but also
they can.
they make I don't like really like not every movie has to be shot with like the most intense, like beautiful, whatever camera. Like some movies, especially in horror, I think suffer from that. And there is a grain that serves certain things. And a lighting, like a not perfect lighting that serves certain things. So,
well, so that let me say, you don't achieve those from shooting, because no one is going to not shoot on the best camera. Everyone's going to shoot on a Red or an Arri Alexa or something that is amazing. Yes. You achieve those things by having a good lighting team and by having a good visuals and post team.
Yes.
Because you can texture. recreate grain. I worked on, you know, it's out now, worked on Scenes from a Marriage. That film shot without grain. The grain's added in post. It looks great. It's grain. It looks like film grain. You wouldn't be able to tell. So it's, you know, it's just one of those things where your team has to be able to make that feel that way.
So to me, I get what you're saying, especially when you're someone that has a ton of, when you're a big studio and there's a ton of people that are putting a ton of money into it, the immediate thing is like, oh, well, obviously they're going to use the best technology. Always. Yeah. They're going to be the most updated, whatever. To me, it's the same argument though, as like digital versus like a traditional painting or something. Like you can, there is a charm that is never going to be lost in like a drawing, just like with a pen and a paper, that can't always even be achieved digitally, no matter how much you try to mimic it. So I guess my thing is, I don't think that the obvious, I hate that the industry is set up where, because of money, you're obviously always going to choose to do it with the newest tech that you can. Because I don't also think just, it always it's serves the art.
Hard to do it on, like, no one shoots on film. You know what I mean? Like, it's when you shoot on film, you're shooting literal film. You run out after a certain number of shots. Like, the reason that people shoot digitally is so you can do take after take after take after take after take and not run out of film. People that shoot on film are people like Tarantino that are artists. In that sense that they know I want to shoot on a blank camera and can afford it, to be honest.
I think my thing is I couldn't tell you the last movie that I saw where I'm like, this feels old to me, other than watching like Hocus Pocus or, you know, an older movie. Even when things are supposed to, I'm like, oh, this is mimicking old. And so it always feels not authentic to me, the way that basically, dude, if Hocus Pocus just feels like, you know, if it's super bright, I think of what they did with The Witch is my main thing. I can't help but worry that, or not The Witch, Witches, with what they did with Witches. No, sorry, Witches. Witches, the old Witches, the Roald Dahl fucking book movie with who's that actress? She plays Morticia. You guys know what I'm talking about. That movie is a million times better and scarier than the new Witches that they did, which was all just CGI, super bright lights.
Angelica, you know, Houston.
There you go. It just, that's my thing, is if Hocus Pocus follows in that whatever at all, or like, I don't know, man, it feels like they're going to...
So they
pay attention to who your audience is. Don't make a movie just for fucking kids today. You know, make it for, I understand.
Make it for me.
No, but it's gotta be both. It has to be both. You have to, you can't just like, I mean, they can and they will. They're just, dude, they're 100% just going to bend it to what the kid movie format is today. And it's going to feel like that. And that's the pessimism in me. I want to like it, but I just don't trust that Disney is going to do right by a series. They're always going to choose, every big studio is just always going to choose whatever is going to make what they think the formula is to make them the most money.
I wonder if the three sisters are producers on it. Because if they are, then maybe they have creative say and they'll be able to swing it in one way or another.
Yeah. I just want some texture, man. It would be cool. I mean, maybe they are. I could imagine that they might be pulled in on that. Why is your mouth open?
We talked about the proposal earlier in this movie. R.I.P. Betty White. The director of this movie is the director of The Proposal.
That doesn't excite me. That does not make me think that this is going to be...
The director of this new movie is the director of Step Up, 27 Dresses, The Proposal, some other stuff, and then Hocus Pocus 2.
I liked Step Up and I liked 27 Dresses. I think that means this is going to be shit, though, because I don't think that this person is... I mean, maybe I'm wrong, at least from their there's nothing that hints to me that that's a good thing at all. I just want it to feel like Hocus Pocus and not to feel like a new movie, a whole new thing using Hocus Pocus material, which is what a lot of shit does, man.
Sean's very worried. Next movie on the slate coming out October 14th is The End of the Trilogy by David Gordon Green, Halloween Ends. I'll quickly throw in, for this movie to be good, it needs to be the opposite of Halloween Kills.
Yeah, it needs to be the opposite of both of those to me. I don't see how it could be good. Honest.
It's lost it for me.
Yeah, we had a whole thing talking about it. Damn, I feel like we're being... basically every movie you've listed aside from Northman or The Northman. Everyone, I feel like I'm nervous. I'm just nervous. That's for okay. 2022. But yeah, dude, if this one, I don't like what I love Halloween. I fucking love Halloween. We obviously have a whole in-depth episode. And if you've been listening, you heard us talk about it. So I'm not going to tangent on about this one, but I'll keep it short. I love the Halloween series. I love 1, I love 2, I love 4 and 5, like the most. I love 1, 2, 4, 5 and both of Rob Zombie's remakes significantly more than I have liked Halloween Returns or Kills. Yeah. So it's just a different feel. It kind of feels like, you know, some writers today got together with John Carpenter, heard his frustrations about how the series went, and decided to do what John wanted, or to make a statement that John would have wanted to make, which is that it's not about Laurie, Michael's just whatever, but then do it in a, I don't know, because it's complicated, because you can't go full brutal with Michael. Because one of the scariest things about Michael is that you don't see much. You know, like keeping him to the shadows and not showing the kills is one of the things that makes, I mean, you see the kills, but I don't know, not focusing on the brutality of the kills.
Yeah.
He felt more like a boogeyman in the first, especially in the first movie. And yeah, that's 4 and 5, in my opinion.
That's far gone away.
Yeah. This just feels like, you know, you put a Michael Myers mask on Jason, to be honest with you. And again, the kills in the latest two movies, there are some great kills that are fun, but overall, like, these are definitely they're not in my, you must watch Halloween movies. If I'm going to show someone the Halloween franchise and explain to them how much I love it, I'm going to show you 1, 2, 4, and 5.
Yeah.
And probably Rob Zombie's first one after we talk about those.
So. We have 4 left. The next one with no release date is Evil Dead Rise. Do you want me to give you a synopsis of what's going to happen in that movie? Do you want to go in without anything?
Is it like super confirmed? Like the synopsis, what do you see the synopsis from? All right. Going off of
the Bloody Disgusting.
Sure. Article.
And this is straight from Megan Navarro. Beth pays an overdue visit to her old sister, Ellie, who is raising 3 kids on her own in a cramped LA apartment. The sister's reunion is cut short by the discovery of a mysterious book deep in the bowels of Ellie's building, giving rise to flesh-possessing demons and thrusting Beth into a battle for survival as she is faced with the most nightmarish version of motherhood imaginable. It's directed by Lee Cronin, who did a movie called The Hole in the Ground, which is, I've been wanting to see it for a minute. It's on Showtime. Really want to watch it. It comes out on HBO Max sometime this year.
Okay.
Thoughts?
So, Evil Dead is complicated. I really like the first movie. The second movie, Evil Dead 2, is my favorite of the Evil Dead franchise, followed immediately by the remake, and then immediately by Army of Darkness. They are all just really, really good to me. And if I had to put them in an order, that's the order I would put them in. But they're all, that's
two, four,
they're all
three,
very good. Yeah. One. And then one close after. Close, I do like after. One, but I love two. So that remake is exactly what I wanted from an Evil Dead remake.
Okay.
I guess at this point I'm like, I don't know what they're going to give me that I want more, but Evil Dead is a series that you can do different things. That's the point. Every movie feels different.
Yeah.
Literally every Evil Dead movie feels different. I have only seen the first like episode or two of the show of Ash versus Evil Dead. And it was fun, but it didn't feel, it's not as amazing as those movies just from that little bit that I saw. And I didn't like the bad CGI. Evil Dead, you can't, no CGI in Evil Dead as a key component. If you want to do it for flourish with your practical effects, sure, but Evil Dead is practical effects and nothing is ever going to change my mind on that period.
Yeah, that's
so fair. if you're doing CGI, even if it's good CGI, if I can tell it's CGI, fuck that. It's got to be legit. So it's also interesting to put it in a building that, what, it's an apartment?
Yeah.
Like a big, like in a, you said New York City?
It says, no, LA apartment complex.
LA. Okay, so, I mean, how did the Necronomicon get there? I mean, okay, so the, I don't know. It feels like they might be trying to lean more into the comedy, whatever, of this one. That early, I guess
I don't know. It feels almost a Quiet Place-y zombie-esque to me. Could be what they're going for.
I'm down for whatever. Let's see.
Yeah.
I'm really, you know, open to them trying anything that they want.
Mm.
I'm always looking for more horror. But if they want to go and just have some fun, as long as it's good, you know, this one is one where I'm going to say, just show me what you got, dude.
Just do it.
Show me what you got. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Next on the list, we have The Haunted Mansion, which is much like Pirates of the Caribbean, based off of a Disney park attraction. There's already been one movie with Eddie Murphy, right, was the lead in that movie.
Yeah.
This one's directed by Justin Simien, who is the writer-director of Dear White People and Bad Hair.
Mm-hmm.
Disney produced again. I'm pretty sure it's got to be, right? Yeah, it's got to be Disney produced. I'm assuming coming out on Disney Plus. Any thoughts at all?
The Haunted Mansion ride is like my favorite fucking thing at the parks. Last time I went to Disney World, which was a few years ago, I rode the Haunted Mansion ride 4 or 5 times back to back because everyone, it was like near the end of the night, they were about to close the park and everyone else was doing other things. The last 3 times I rode it by myself. And the people that were like, literally I was the, not just no one was with me. I was the only person on the ride. and it was amazing. It was amazing. The people kept laughing at me, but they got it. So I really enjoyed that ride. When the movie came out, I was a kid with Eddie Murphy and I fucking thought it sucked. I was expecting it to be spooky, whatever. And I was like, oh, this is just bad CGI and whatever. Like, even as a kid, I was like, this is not, I don't know what it is about this sort of thing that movies were starting to do around then, but I don't like it. I still haven't seen The Muppets Haunted Mansion, and I'm very excited to watch
that's
it.
True.
I don't know why I haven't done it. I was going to do it in October and I just didn't do it, but I need to do it. I truly am excited. My lack of watching has nothing to do with that. I'm just a mess. A new one, especially with, I mean, I guess obviously Disney's going to be the one doing it. It's a, you know, it's a Disney property.
Yeah.
I hope it's really cool. I hope it doesn't just try to, I would want it to feel nothing like the Eddie Murphy one, like nothing at all. I would want it to leave everything from that behind and take a completely different take. So but there's going to be people listening who love the original who are going to want it to be as good as that one. So
this one says it follows a mother and her son who come across a mansion that is more than it seems while being orbited by various characters key to undressing the spooky mystery. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's a different take, at least. I'm sure it'll be watchable.
Yeah. And with this, I want to stress, I understand that like not everything is supposed to be scary or a horror movie, Sean. And obviously for me. But I just want there to be, it's going to be fun. You know, like this one I'm expecting to be geared towards kids and stuff, obviously. But I just want it to be a mix of both. Scare the kids a little bit. You can make the kids laugh and you can scare the kids in the same thing. And give me real texture is one of the main things. When you ride that ride, everything, stop relying on CGI so much. That's the main thing. If they're not trying to make me laugh every 2 seconds, if they're willing to be scary and it's not all CGI, then it could be good. But I'm expecting it to not do any of those things that I just said the right way. So I just don't trust Disney anymore, dude. I don't fucking trust them.
That's fair. The next movie, got two more. Next movie on the list. Actually, we're going to end it right here. This is going to be the last one. Comes out on Hulu this year, directed by David Bruckner, who describes it as a loyal yet evolved reimagining of Clive Barker's 1987 horror classic. We have Hellraiser, starring Jamie Clayton as the new Pinhead, played by a woman just like in the original Clive Barker short, right? Or was it a novella, I think? It's going to be on Hulu. I could have sworn it was coming out in the spring, but I could be incorrect. Thoughts? I think we've talked about this a little bit, but
we have. Well, so we had David.
Obviously, we talked about Bruckner. Yeah.
Yes. Well, for anyone who may have jumped in or whatever, we do have an interview with him. I don't know the exact episode right now, but where we talk about Night House, and we acknowledge, like he acknowledged with us that he is working on Hellraiser and, you know, being excited to work with that property, but he couldn't tell us 23. Anything. There you go. He couldn't tell us anything, obviously, especially then it was super, like, I think it had just been announced. I trust him. I mean, I thought that Night House was great. The Ritual is obviously great. I think especially, like, he clearly has his horror chops and he made it sound like he is a big fan of the series. Mm-hmm. So it, to me, I'm down for anything. I don't think, I mean, Clive Barker directed the first Hellraiser. And he obviously wrote it. And so I don't think, like, those movies are iconic, but they're not perfect movies by any means.
Right.
And he had a great idea. I haven't read the book. I need to read it. Basically I'm just down. I'm really down to play with that series. I'm excited that they're going with the, you know, the more feminine presenting Pinhead. And because I think it's supposed to be slightly androgynous just overall, but I know that there are a lot of feminine qualities. I trust him. And I think he's going to bring the sauce and try to scare the shit out of us.
I agree. I think he's a great like voice. He has a pretty original voice to his film. Yes. So,
yeah.
But the Ritual, there's so much. The Ritual. Yeah.
It scared me. It's dude. Yeah. There were parts of that movie where I'm like, this is fucking scary. Sorry for interrupting. What were you saying?
No, you're fine. I was just going to say, I mean, there are, we could keep going on. We've gone on for quite some time, but
yeah,
I mean, there are so many movies. A24 has a couple coming out. They have one called X. They have one called Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Mm-hmm. They have Everything Everywhere All at Once, which isn't really horror, but it's the directors of Swiss Army Man, which is going to be just a crazy,
yeah,
you know, kind of film. I'm just finding out by reading this list that Henry Selick has a new movie that's coming out to Netflix that's going to be stop motion animated starring Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele.
Amazing.
So we got the Munsters that'll come out eventually. We just got a lot of good stuff. I think as well horror as is just, yeah.
I was going to say, as well as like what we touched on today was a lot of the big things that are going to be coming out over this year. But obviously, horror is such a, how do I want to say it? Horror has so many creative people in this genre and in this industry. Mm-hmm. And so great horror movies come out all the time that are more independent and more, you know, like they're not what you're hearing about on most of your main media sources. Mm-hmm. So we should definitely do at least like a quick segment, maybe looking at some of the things that aren't being talked about at all, maybe in the future, and just be like, oh, yeah, like here are some like really indie shit, or just throughout the year, we should make it a good point to really talk about some of the indie finds that we have. So don't think that this is all that's coming out.
Oh no, this is truly just the tip of the iceberg, which is wonderful. But yeah, I am very excited. There's so much content, like so much horror stuff coming out. I mean, I'm just scrolling through the list. You have Olivia Wilde, who's directing a psychological thriller with Florence Pugh and Harry Styles. There's a Salem's Lot remake that's coming out, being produced.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Produced by James Wan, written by Gary Doberman, who wrote It, The Nun, Annabelle Comes Home, actually writing and directing it. You have David Harbour starring in a film coming out in December called Violent Night. You have an adaptation of a cannibal story by Luca Guadagnino, I'm pretty sure is how you pronounce it, who did the new Suspiria, and it's going to have Timothée Chalamet in it. You have the director of Wreck has a new movie coming out called The Grandmother. There's so much, and this is just stuff scattered throughout the year that's going to be coming out. So
hell yeah,
there's so much.
That's honestly, out of everything, and I'm stoked on pretty much everything that you said, Violent Night, I have not heard of that, and it sounds like it's going to be a good Christmas slasher flick, and it's so down.
Directed by the people that directed Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. The thing I'll Which say about Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters is I saw it when I worked at Imagine. Do you remember D-Box seats? Did you ever see any movie in D-Box seats?
I know what they are, but I don't know if I ever saw anything.
So I saw that movie in D-Box seats, which for those of you who don't know, are seats that move kind of with the movie. They like shake and rattle and roll.
Yeah.
It was fun. I was probably a little bit more pretentious when I watched that movie than I am currently, and I still enjoyed it. So maybe it's going to be a fun Christmas.
I just assumed it wasn't going to be good when I saw the trailer for it. And I was also way more pretentious. So, but I guess I got to see it.
I agree.
But yeah. Also, we're bringing back, we haven't been doing game segments as much recently. They are coming back. We have just been whatever, but we've been talking about it a lot today. Game segments are coming back.
They are coming back in full force. There's so much stuff. We hope you guys are excited as we are. Thank you as always for listening, especially to this episode, and we'll catch you next week.
Happy New Year.
Goodbye.
If you like Mostly Horror, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcast.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I understand that anybody who's paid attention to the media would have to come to the conclusion that I killed my wife.
Hi, my name is Zach Stewart Pontier. I'm one of the filmmakers behind The Jinx, and I'm excited to bring you the official Jinx podcast. We'll be revisiting all 6 episodes of Part 1 and watching along with Part 2 as it airs on Max, starting April 21st.
Bye-bye.
The official Jinx podcast. Listen on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.